Good morning. Are you enjoying worship this morning? I sure am. I am still living off an Easter high. Anybody else kind of feeling that? Amen. Right there with you, brother. We sang a song called the Easter Song on Sunday. That's an old Keith Green song, and I've been plugged into Keith Green on YouTube. And man, if you want a jolt for your soul, connect to Keith Green. It is just really fun. Hey, could we thank all the people who worked hard last weekend to put together our Easter celebration? Can we just thank them for ministering to us? Isn't that awesome? Easter reminds us that we are people of faith. Today we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. When I was a young adult, I had a kind of faith dilemma in front of me. I was beginning to sense that God was calling me to be a missionary. And I also knew that I wanted to get married someday. And I was having a lot of trouble seeing how those could go together. Who would want to marry a missionary? It wasn't going to be a very comfortable, luxurious life. And my parents got divorced when I was growing up. So that was sort of inside of me. Like, how would I know that my future could be a little different than my own family had been? So it was a faith challenge for me to actually get married. For Elise, it's kind of a faith challenge to stay married sometimes. So pray for her, okay? She's doing really great, but it's just day by day. I don't take anything for granted, you know? Friends, if you are facing a financial hardship, this message could be for you. And there's a solution out there, but it's going to take some faith. You might be here and you might be emotionally exhausted because of a relationship that you can't just kind of totally wrap your mind around. And there's a solution out there, but it's going to require some faith. You may be a Christian who has come from a Christian family that has a rich legacy of faith. Maybe your parents were believers and your grandparents were believers. Maybe there have even been people involved in ministry, and maybe you went to Christian school and you have a rich Christian heritage. My friend, this message is for you because you can't stay where you are. You need to be a person of faith. Not living even on a godly heritage, but living by faith in Jesus Christ day in and day out. Maybe you are, or maybe you know, a young person who is hoping to get married someday and just kind of wondering if there is a Christian man or Christian woman out there who would actually save themselves sexually for marriage. And that may be a big faith proposition in today's culture. My friends, we live in the age of skepticism. Skepticism is the worldview of our time. And its children abound. They are negativity. They are criticism. They are apathy and sarcasm. You will find these things running rampant around our culture and sometimes in our own minds. Today, some dismiss faith as mere wishful thinking or think of faith only as a descriptor of the beliefs and practices of some sort of religious worldview. So it is an awesome thing that God in His Word has preserved for us an account of the faith that actually pleases Him. So if you have your Bible with you, whether it's in print or electronically, would you go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 1. There it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for." Behind our English word faith is the Greek word pistis there. Pistis is going to show up 28 times in this chapter. The chapter has 40 verses, and the word shows up in about three quarters of those verses. Faith deals with the future. Did you know that you cannot have faith in the past? And that's a good thing for us to know at Sunrise Community Church, because we have a very rich history. We have a rich and very positive history, but you can't have faith in your history. Now, you can have faith that is based on history. We have an historic faith. It is based on the work of God in Israel. That's the Old Testament. It is based on the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. But faith, for it to be faith, must always exist towards the future. At every stage, we are forward-looking people because we are people of faith. Faith is an assurance about what we do not see. Do you know that faith deals with the unseen? Biblical faith is an inner conviction based on the Word of God. You could jot down Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. God actually gives us faith, and part of what He uses to give us faith is the reading and preaching and proclaiming of His Word. J. Oswald Sanders said, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as unseen. Can you treat the future as present and the invisible as seen? Friends, we have a little saying that's kind of rolling around the life of our church, and it is not a Bible verse, but it is rooted in the Bible, and it describes one of the dynamics of a life of faith. It goes like this. If you can't see it before you can see it, you're never going to see it. If you can't see something by faith, based on God's word and God's promises, before you can see it in the physical, well, you're never going to see it. My family and I planted a church in Mexico. It was a faith deal from beginning to end. We had to go through support raising by faith. We had to learn Spanish by faith. And then we moved down there, and lo and behold, we didn't look like Mexicans. And they would say, hey, what are you doing down here? And I'd say, well, I'm here to plant and to pastor a church. And they'd say, great, where's your church? And I'd say, it's in my heart and my mind. Yeah, that's what they said too. You know, that church came to be. Have you ever seen something before you saw it? So that one day you could really see it. Are you a person of faith? I want to be careful. I'm not talking about presumption. I'm not talking about that anything I want or imagine, God will just do that for me. That would make you God. And you're not God, and I'm not God. But we can have faith in God and in His promises based on His word. He speaks today. He calls and He promises. Can you see by faith things before they come to be? Do you know that's why we have a children's ministry? That's why we have a student ministry? It's not just to keep the room quiet and in order so we can enjoy 70 minutes of peace and quiet. I know you think that. It's not just that. That's a good reason though, isn't it? That's not just that. You know what? We see adult Christians. Now, they're 4 years old right now, but we see adult Christians. Do you see what I'm seeing? We treat them in a way as children, but we treat them as future adults. If you are raising children, if you're dealing with children, don't see them just as children. See them as adults. See them as future husbands and future wives and future grandparents. In a sense, you are raising the parents for your grandchildren, right? Can you see before you can see so that one day you'll see it and you'll love it? Friends, what I'm talking about today isn't just the faith to be saved, but that same faith that continues on and helps us live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ day by day. Are you taking God at His word? Are you seeing before you can see? If we could sit down for an hour and have a cup of coffee or something and say, would you be able to tell me something that you're seeing before you can see it? Friends, that's a hallmark of a person of faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, this is what the ancients were commended for. How do you make it into Hebrews chapter 11? Well, those are the kind of people that could see things before they could see things, so that by God's grace they would see things happen. Hebrews 11 is a rich catalog of Old Testament faith, and we're going to look at just three of these many examples that show up in this chapter. But we're also going to look, and I'm so excited about this, at some present examples. There's nothing like someone living out faith today. As a staff, we have our staff meetings on Tuesday, and during our staff meeting this last Tuesday, I asked our staff, how are you living by faith? And the examples poured in. And I said, would you give me permission to share some of these stories? And they said, absolutely. Stories of ways that God has met people that are now on our staff in a moment where only God could provide this. One of our staff said, earlier in his life, he had been searching for a truth that he could believe in. He stepped into a relationship with God, not really knowing, he said, the full story of the Bible, not really understanding that much about Jesus Christ, but he had given his heart to Jesus. And then he devoted a year to study and to research. And he became even more convinced that he had made the right choice. Now he ministers to our body all the time. But it started by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says, by faith. That phrase, by faith, in English shows up 21 times in our text today. So I'm going to be asking you, are you living by faith? What I'm talking about is not just, are you saved? Are you kind of avoiding some of the more significant sins? I'm not just saying, are you in church or are you in a life group? I'm asking you, in your heart of hearts, are you living by faith? Are you depending on God? Not just do you have some kind of godly heritage or godly worldview, but are you trusting God for specific things in specific ways going forward in your life? It turns out that's the lifestyle that pleases God. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, did you catch that? Not yet seen. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. Would you get this? Noah built a ship to God-given specifications over a period of decades to survive a flood that no one had ever even thought about. Talk about the unseen. Noah saw it by faith, and his faith led him to work. And they said that Noah was crazy. Has anybody other than your spouse ever called you crazy? Here's the math on this, friends. If we live in an unbelieving world, and we do, and yet we are believers, there ought to be some times that people in our world look at us and say, you're kind of crazy. And from their perspective, that's kind of right. Now, I'm not saying to be crazy or go do crazy weirdo kind of stuff, but our faith should set us apart from unbelieving people. It sure did for Noah. Noah endured scorn. Noah wrestled with his own doubts, but he believed that what God said was true. Now, check this out, church. Check this in the Bible. By his faith, he condemned the world. The Bible has a warning for you. If you are to be a person that lives by faith, a life of faith in Christ will seem a sharp rebuke to a godless generation. Noah's obedience, his attitudes and actions, condemned the unbelieving world all around him. Unwittingly, Noah didn't set out to condemn people. But as Noah believed by faith and followed God, his actions and his attitudes condemned a watching and unbelieving world. I went with Pastor Rich and a number of people from Sunrise to the Decision America Tour 2016 prayer rally at the west steps of the Capitol here in Sacramento on Thursday. It was an awesome thing. You know what we did in about 45 minutes of time? We confessed our sins in three different ways in public. How about that? Amen. We prayed for our country. We prayed for leaders. We prayed for God's mercy and God's grace on our country. The gospel was preached. A challenging message was given. It was fantastic. There were thousands of people there. It was a beautiful day. I mean, it was without music, sort of like a worship kind of time. It was edifying. Was fantastic. And as we walked away, I noticed there were some protesters along the fringe, as there often are at gatherings of that size. And I thought, how sad. There are people confessing their sins and the sins of their fathers and the sins of our leaders from the past and taking responsibility and repenting and humbling themselves before God and blessing one another and blessing God. And there are some people who feel somehow condemned by that. Friends, if you're a person of faith in an unbelieving world, your behavior will seem to them as condemning. Another member of our staff with her husband moved her family away for 6 months. They left a familiar school. They left a business. They left family and friends to get involved with ministry to strangers. But God was good. He provided relationships that they will never forget, school for their children. He blessed their work. He transformed their hearts, and he continues to motivate them to serve in this way. What about you? Are you living by faith? Hebrews 11 and verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went. Hey, can I just tell you that Abraham was wealthy? Abraham had a lot of cattle, and Abraham had servants. And my friends, wealth comes with risk. The more we get of this world's goods, the harder it can be to move us. It is human nature. Wealth insulates. Wealth can insulate from God's voice. Wealth can insulate from human need. Abraham did not allow this to happen. And we don't have to allow it to happen either. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Would you just check for a moment the kinds of things Abraham did not know? He did not know where he was going. Ur of the Chaldees is kind of in the area of contemporary Iraq. He moved to the west, down through Jordan, and then through Canaan and into Egypt. He did a lot of traveling. Verse 9 says that he lived in tents. He was a foreigner. He dealt with being an alien in the lands where he was after he responded to God. He did not know how he would have children. He and Sarah were just really not very good candidates, biologically speaking. Wouldn't you agree, to start a new nation? And that whole thing with Sarah or with Hagar, it didn't really work out quite like that hoped, did it? He didn't know when God would answer. It took years and years. Sometimes it's one thing to believe God, but then it's another thing to trust God for his timing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's why we have Hebrews 11, to encourage us to live by faith. At a critical point, he did not even know why God called him. God's promised son did appear. And then you have Abraham and Sarah, ages 100 and age 90, showing up at the Sunrise Preschool. Wouldn't that have been a sight? But not too many years later, friends, that same father, that same boy, they're walking up a mountain, and the father's about to tie that young man on an altar, and he's contemplating taking his life. Abraham did not know why God had called him to this supreme test. He just knew that God could raise the dead. Abraham was a man of faith to see that promise realized. And even after Isaac was born, he continued to be a man of faith. Now, friends, here's the point for us today. There is a huge difference. Would you hold out your two fingers like this? There is a huge difference in your life, mine and Abraham's, between knowledge and faith. Now, you are living in the information age. You carry Google and Siri in your pants pocket. There's almost no end to the things you can know. I talk to my kids, they want to know, like, how many points did Dwayne Wade score 3 games ago? And they just, Siri, right here, bam. And we can know this stuff. There's an awful lot of things that Abraham did not know. He didn't know how, he didn't know when, didn't know why, but he was a man of faith. Friends, there's going to be a lot of times in your life you're going to be able to Google something or Siri something, but you're going to be unable to know something you would really like to know. And you've got to determine if you just know the Bible or if you believe the Bible. If you just know about God or you know God and you're willing to live by faith. Abraham is in the Bible not because he could Google it or Siri it or write it all down. Abraham is in the Bible because he was a man of faith. And friends, your lack of knowledge doesn't mean you have to lack faith if you know God. And friends, it's even easier for us because we have the account of so many Old Testament saints, including Abraham. When we don't know where and we don't know how and we don't know when and we don't know why, my friends, we can still be people who live by faith. One member of our staff moved across the country with no job, no place to live, no connections. He did have money. He had $1,000. God is blessing that man and using him inside our church and out. One member of our staff felt God leading him years ago into vocational ministry, but he already had a job, kind of like Abraham. He was doing well. And yet he felt the tug of God into ministry. And then someone offered him a ministry position, but it represented a 2/3 cut in pay. Ooh. By faith, he stopped doing what he was doing, and he took that ministry position. And in the next 5 months, he paid off more debt than he had paid off in the last 12 months, and he became debt-free when he had the lesser-paying job. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Are you living by faith? Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Rahab was in Jericho. Folks from Sunrise visited the city of Jericho just about a year ago. There's a map right here. You can see the Dead Sea is that big blue body of water, and just north of the Dead Sea is Jericho. If you kind of go from the top of the Dead Sea and you go straight west, you'll see Jerusalem. Jericho at that time was surrounded by a wall. And Rahab lived in a house that formed part of that wall. And outside of that wall was the nation of Israel, intent on capturing Jericho and the rest of Canaan. And Rahab knew some stuff. She knew that Israel had escaped from Egypt. She knew that Israel had crossed the Red Sea. She knew that Israel had overthrown Amorite kings. And she knew that she was on the wrong side of God's plan. She was a Gentile. She was a prostitute. But friends, don't miss this. Rahab demonstrated faith. Joshua's two spies stayed with her. Where they were found, she hid them and sent their pursuers the wrong way. She asked for protection. The spies escape. Rahab helps Jericho be destroyed, and Rahab's family is saved. If you check out the thoroughness of Scripture, Rahab becomes the wife of a man named Salmon, the mother of Boaz, and the ancestor of a man named King David. If you check out Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, Rahab, of all people, is included in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. James 2 and verse 25 indicates that Rahab's faith made her righteous. My friends, Rahab is a wild card. Rahab is a surprise. And there will be some surprises in heaven, and there are some surprises on earth. Rahab lived in the wrong city, she had the wrong background, and she had the wrong profession. But Rahab responded to God by faith. What about you? I've got a friend, and he reminds me that, you know, your past is not your potential if you're in Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. If you're in Christ, your past is not your potential. Rahab had a past. That was not at all her potential. She lived by faith, and so can you. Friends, the writer of the book of Hebrews continues. He says, what more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell you about Gideon and Barak, about Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. They gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the fury of the flames. They escaped the edge of the sword. Their weaknesses were turned to strength. They became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. God says the world was not worthy of them. Friends, our whole world is fallen. And the only way out is through faith in Jesus Christ. If you want an extraordinary life, if you want a life as God intended, it's a life by faith in God. For the big things and for the small things. One of our staff simply said, God called me to homeschool. He brought experienced people into my life who encouraged me. He gave me a passion for my children's spiritual journey and for their education. He enabled me to stay at home, even though it meant that we would be very poor. He provided support from my family and from my husband. He gave me courage to try something new. I saw the fruits right away as we were able to specialize the education to each one of our children. Our kids are grown now. They have children of their own. Each has their own spiritual journey, but each one follows Jesus Christ. And some of them say they want to homeschool their own kids. Another one of our staff said, my wife had been after me to trust God and tithe, to give 10% of our income to God. What a hassle, right? There's a guy on church staff, he said, I consider that legalism. Works righteousness. But he writes, then something clicked. I saw tithing was an expression of gratitude for all that God had done for us in Christ. I can still remember the first time I gladly put tithe as the very top item on our family budget. And I wrote out the check. That very afternoon, we received a call from an insurance agent. He had come across some paperwork for an accident that happened a whole year earlier. He had determined that their insured was actually at fault in an accident that had happened. And he said there was a check waiting for us. The amount was double our tithe. Now he's saying, we don't give to get, but we felt that God was smiling on us. Hebrews 11:39 says, all these Old Testament saints were commended for their faith. But check this out. Yet none of them received what had been promised. The Bible says that. The indication is not that any of these Old Testament saints had done anything wrong. They were commended for their faith. They did not fail. It's just that God had planned something better for us. We have a stake in this. First century Jewish Christians, the first recipients of the book of Hebrews, 21st century Sunrise Christians, God designed that only together with us would they be made perfect. God's plan to perfect these Old Testament saints includes New Testament saints like you and me. Friends, what they counted on, what we count on, is only going to be realized together. Do you see how God is setting us up to be people of faith? Giving us their stories and saying, their stories are not quite complete. Your story, my story, the story of every believer in Christ as we seek to live by faith is a part of their story. Well, friends, I asked our Sunrise staff, not just for like historic examples of living by faith and the way God has met them. It's always a little more comfortable to tell a story that's worked out 20 or 10 years ago. And maybe you've kind of got the story down. Maybe you even remember the story better than you actually, you know, could engage with the details of what actually happened at that time. But I asked them, what about right now? Sunrise staff, are you living by faith today? Is there an open-endedness to your faith? Are there things over which you have no control? Where you're just trusting God and you don't know how the story is going to end. And their stories and their examples poured in. Today, people on Sunrise staff are living by faith that God will provide them the right child at the right time, maybe by adoption. Wouldn't that be fun to just pray for without knowing who it is? Just, there's a family on our church staff that are looking for a child. Wouldn't that be cool if we could just buy into that and just pray for that family and maybe even meet that child when God would bring that child into the life of one of our staff families? There's another family launching a precious child into adulthood. There's a family on our church staff giving sacrificially. My friends, I've known this not just in my time recently here, but even historically. You would be amazed at the sacrificial giving of some of the pastors at Sunrise. Not just right now, but historically. Some of you might know them personally, and you might have a way to know just how giving they have been, even financially. There are people on our staff trusting God to prepare them as a couple for further ministry together. They're saying, you've entrusted us with this kind of ministry, and we're trusting you, God, for this kind of ministry. There's people on our staff praying for the salvation of non-believers, for marriages and families to be healed, for an end to sex slavery, for faith in Christ to blossom among Muslim and Hindu people. They exemplify the faith of one person on our staff who wrote, years ago, as a single, young, broke woman, I felt challenged about what it means to give sacrificially. There was no hard sell, she writes, but I felt the Spirit was tugging at my heart. At the time, I had about $25 in my bank account. There was little food in my apartment, and my gas tank was almost on empty. I was about a week away from my next paycheck. As the ushers came forward to collect the offering, I felt the Spirit whisper to me, "Give it all." By faith, I started writing a check for $25. My hand shook. Immediately after I placed my offering in the basket, I wanted my check back. I felt I'd made a big mistake. As soon as I got to my car, I started crying. To add insult to injury, as soon as I drove away from the church, my gas light turned on. That afternoon, I panicked. I cried and I prayed. Eventually, a confidence and a peace from God took over. And I knew that somehow I would be okay. That next morning, by faith, I got in my car to go to work, and suddenly the thought occurred in my mind, check your mail. I drove slowly to the mailboxes, trying not to use any extra gas. There was one envelope. Thinking it was a bill, I begrudgingly opened it. It was a check for $500. It was the deposit from an apartment I had moved out of over a year ago. I sat in my car and I sobbed, she writes. So grateful for God's grace and power. It was a miracle that I needed at that discouraging point in my life. It was not only proof of God's providence, but that he truly does go ahead of us and prepare a way. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will be returned to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap." She writes, "It was just a reminder that I will never be able to outgive God." Friends, if you get nothing else out of this morning, would you get this? God honors faith. Whether you're Noah, or Abraham, or Rahab, or someone trying to make your way in Sacramento in 2016. The purpose of this message for us, friends, is really self-examination. To ask you and to ask me, are we really living by faith? See, we're people called Christians, and if you're really hip today, you kind of call yourself a Jesus follower. So I'm just kind of asking, are you following? I mean, not just is it like your status, the box you would check, but is it the dynamic of your life? And what that means is there's going to be some risk. There's going to be some uncertainty. There will be some uncomfortability because you don't know how it's going to end up, and that is gloriously okay. You don't have to be God. You don't have to pretend to God, be God. You don't have to audition for the role. Unless we think that all this is just for Bible characters or for people at Sunrise staff, can I just remind you of a few really basic things as we think about faith in our lives? Number one, people are people. The world is not divided into super saints and second-class saints. The world is not divided into spiritually powerful and spiritually pathetic. We all put our pants on one leg at a time. We need to remember that when we come to Hebrews 11, or we could be intimidated. We got to think that these people, they were no different from us. The people of Hebrews 11 were people, just like you and just like me. And the second thing we got to remember is that God is God. God was not more God back then than he is today. God was not more God with Moses than he is with you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God is God." He doesn't change. It was a survey of some elementary kids. They were asked if God understands nuclear energy. 64% of the kids said no. Let me tell you, God understands nuclear energy. He's the creator. You might not understand it, but he understands it. God can handle nuclear energy and everything else. He is the creator. The God behind each one of those biblical miracles is God today. And my friends, faith is still faith. We tend to think God worked in those people in the past, but he cannot work in me. That is not true. Because you can live by faith just as well as they can. Friends, the Old Testament saints of Hebrews 11 had huge obstacles, but they had faith. God still works miracles in people's lives. God still heals. He still does unimaginable things in impossible situations because faith is still faith. And what this means, my friends, is that it is the future and not the past that shapes our present. It is the future and not the past that shapes our present. Remember, because of Christ, your past is not your potential. Your past has been rewritten. Your present is being used to attain God's will in your life for the future. In our Greater Message series, we are encouraging one another to simply memorize one verse out of Hebrews each week. Would you take a look with me at Hebrews 11, 6? And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hey, would you make a decision right now to just share that verse with one other friend, maybe your spouse or your roommate or whoever it would be, could even be someone online or email or whatever, and just say, hey, let's memorize that verse together before next Sunday. And spend some time reading Hebrews 11. You'll be glad you did. It'll feed your soul. In this greater series, we'll also encourage one another to engage some spiritual formation practices. These are just simple things that we can do to make us more aware of God's presence. Communion, the Lord's Supper. Paul wrote the Corinthians that on the night of his betrayal, Jesus took bread. And having given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. He also took a cup. He said, this cup is my blood. Do this to remember me. Each time that we eat this bread and that we drink from this cup, we are remembering the death of Jesus Christ for us. We examine our motives in this moment. We test our hearts. We want to come into this celebration with a sense of deep gratitude. And as you see people respond, be reminded that each one is a miracle, a person that God has brought to faith through Jesus Christ. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the very righteousness of God. To do business with God, to confess any sin to God. Friends, the enemies of faith are well known. They aren't the big things. They're the little things in our hearts. Things like fear and worry, lust and envy, unbelief and pride. Name those things silently to God. Receive his forgiveness. Remember, he has already set you free. Jesus, thank you for giving your life that we could live forever, that we could go through this life even with the daily details that we each face, not dominated by worry and fear and all the rest, but as people of faith. I pray that in this quiet moment, God, you would hear us and that you would remind your people of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, thank you for giving us so much, including your very body and your very blood. And as our teeth crunch that bread and as the sweetness of that juice hits our tongue, we are reminded of the sweetness of your forgiveness. Thank you for giving us faith. Jesus, I pray you'd help me and I pray you'd help my friends to live this week and every week as people characterized by faith. Thank you for this record you've given us in your word. And thank you that you're not done writing stories. Jesus, we're grateful for the part of our stories that remain and pray that they would be written on lives of faith. We ask this in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. On behalf of the pastoral and ministry staff here at Sunrise to say, we want to stand with you. We don't want you to be alone. We want to understand how God is leading you. We want to pray with you. My friends, God honors faith. He loves you, and I love you. God bless you. Have a great week.